the encouragement thus far and the things of God. We certainly need it because we're in a world of discouragement, in a world of trials and problems. Needs, and we realize these, I think sometimes we realize our needs possibly more than our blessings, and because of that, we need to gather to be encouraged, comfort one another in these things. This verse 23 of the lesson, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has made us a threefold being, like himself, spirit, soul, and body. And we live in a body, and we are a soul, a real person that can't be seen as an individual, and yet we are very real. We think and we remember and we decide and we do. Our thinking comes out of our soul, and so that is the real person. Now, in this being that we are, God has placed a spirit, and I'm glad for that spirit, that his spirit contacts and calls us to think spiritual, or to think of the higher, the lasting things, those things which will be forever. Our spirits are important. Our souls are very important. And our body is today very, very, very important in the minds of the earthly, the people of the world. And so, as I thought about it, I like to think about our body, our health. It's a popular subject, and I don't think it's the most important subject, but it's a popular subject. How are you? When you meet people, how are you? Well, I'm well. I'm having a headache this afternoon, or I have a problem with my health, my back, my whatever. It's a popular subject, and it probably gets more attention. Our health gets possibly more attention than it ought to. And certainly it takes attention too many times from the things which are the real importance. But anyway, I like to think about it. Today it's overdone, like I say. You see billboards, you see signs about exercising and diets, and we see people jogging, and we see people taking care of their physical needs. And as Christians, we remember that he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And so, the flesh, while it desires good health, it desires a strong physique, and it desires all the things that go with it. Yet, for the Christian, we ought to think less of it. But we do think of it, and the Bible talks about it. For a text, I'd like to call your attention to 3 John, verse 2, where John, 3 John, verse 2, John, writing to Gaius, says, whom I love in the truth, verse 1, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I wish you good health. Well, we do. We wish each other good health, and that's not wrong. But it's not the most important thing. When he said, even as thy soul prospereth, if he would say it to us, would that be a good omen? I wish you would prosper and be in health, just like your soul is prospering. Your soul in God, your soul in the things of God, in rejoicing in Christ, in seeking Him, and finding Him, and being satisfied in Him. The soul can be satisfied in Him. But if our body would get along as our soul is, most people, their soul is starving. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so the word of God feeds our soul, and it gives us thoughts and aspirations and interests that are higher in seeking to glorify Him. Well, John said it this way, and I like the challenge. I like the challenge. Is my soul prospering that I could hope my body prospers so well? Or would I start going to bed every afternoon and be sickly if my soul was doing like my, if my body was doing like my soul? Let me get that wrong. Now, then Paul talks about it too, and over in Philippians 2, 25 through 30, Philippians 2, Paul says, I wish to come to you shortly, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Evidently, this church had sent Epaphroditus over there to Paul with something. Did he bring him some essentials for living, like an offering? What did he bring him? I believe he possibly brought him some letters. I'm sure he did. But anyway, I think it's necessary to send him to you. For he longed after you all. He was homesick. He was full of heaviness, because ye have heard that he had been sick. Indeed, he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and on, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Paul sorrowed for this man. He thought he was going to die. He sorrowed because he hated that he couldn't send him back to his friends. He longed so much for them. And it's just interesting when you think about that. The binding together, the being knitted together of their souls and an interest to serve God. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. I'm not sure what he's exactly meaning there. Were they careless in helping Paul? Seems like before he had brought an offering, or he brought something. Now he thinks maybe they should have sent more. I'm not sure. But he was nigh unto death because he was trying to make up the gap and do for Paul what hadn't been done. See, Paul was in jail. Paul was suffering for the cause of Christ. And now, we believe that, like to think of our health, we believe that sickness is because of sin, really. In the first, I don't believe Adam and Eve would have gotten sick if they had not sinned, but they sinned. And it's no use to dwell on that. But I do not believe that today, every time a person gets sick, that he sins. It's because you sinned. It's because you've done wrong. Now you're suffering. I believe sometimes it is. I believe it's sometimes it's because of disobedience. And I want to say that I believe that I was in the hospital for 2 weeks, nearly died, in the bed from Christmas till Easter because I disobeyed my father. And when I was five, I didn't do what he told me to do. And because I didn't do what he said, I got a cold, and I kept getting worse and worse until all that. I had to go through all those experiences to get well, having an operation and all. Well, oftentimes that's the case. The Bible says the wicked lives not out half his days in Psalm 55. He doesn't live out half his days. Not because, I believe it's because he disobeys the laws of God and is not willing to submit himself to God. I believe that the Christian has a better chance of getting old than the sinner. Although sinners, because of the mercy of God. I want to call attention to that too. Here in Philippians 2, what I just read says, "But God had mercy on him." Where am I here? Over in the other page, I believe. Verse 27, Philippians 2, 27, "But God had mercy on him." And I believe that there our health is. Our health is bound up in the mercy, the blessing of God. I'm not here at all to say if you eat right and if you do right, you'll live for. But because of God's mercy, I stand here this morning and you're sitting there and you're feeling as good as you are because of the mercy of God. God had mercy on him. He didn't only have mercy on him, Paul says. He had mercy on me because I was worried about him. He didn't say he was worried, but he had sorrow and he was concerned for this young man who had given himself so hard for the work of God that he got sick. Well, that's another thing. He could have been working too hard, driving himself too hard, and became sick. The Bible says that children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. She may live long. Thou mayest live long on the earth. The promise of a long life for obedience, honoring fathers and mothers. So, we do believe that sickness is a result of disobedience at times, not always. 1 Corinthians 3 says that our bodies are the temple of God. The Spirit of God dwells within. 3:17 says, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Our bodies were made with a special desire of God to live in, to have a place. Spirits do not like to live in the void, out in the open. They want to live in. That's why the demons said, "Well, if you cast us out here, can we go into the pigs and the swine?" And Jesus said, "Go." They didn't want to live out. They wanted a home. God's spirit wants a home. The evil spirits want homes. They want to live in. And there's not room for, or there's not enough of people for all of them, evidently. And so Mary Magdalene had seven evil spirits lived in her. Seven different demons. Terrible. And Legion was the name of the other one. Terrible how many made their home in that person. Well, it's the will of God. Reasons for sickness. Sometimes it's the will of God. In John 9, the disciples said, who did wrong here? Who sinned? The parents of this man or the blind man? Here's a man that's blind. And he was blind from his birth. Who sinned? Did he sin? Did he sin before he was born? That he was born blind or what? Did his parents sin? Jesus said, no. Not because his parents sinned, not because he sinned, but that the glory of God, the works of God, should be made manifest in him. And if he wouldn't have been blind, we wouldn't have John 9. We possibly wouldn't have John 10. It grew out of John 9. This man gave testimony that Jesus Christ healed him, and that he wanted to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He gave glory to Christ that day, that the works of God should be made manifest in him, and he really did do it. It fulfilled the purpose of God there in a wonderful way, because he was born blind. Well, who would want to be born blind? I wouldn't, but I would be blind. I would be willing to be blind, as I think about it, if it would glorify God in a very, very real way. In a real way. And so the disciples were satisfied, I believe, with that. And at times they said, the will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. Paul, you're going to be captured. You're going to be tied up. You're going to be put into prison. You're going to be, not sure how they said it, but it says, the will of the Lord be done. I'm willing for God's will to be done, whatever. May we have that thought in mind, to share in the glory and give God glory. It does help us to sympathize and to understand with other people too. If we get flat on our back and we walk into a home where someone is sick, we can say, I understand what you're going through, brother. I had that same experience. I remember my sister died when I was a young man. And it was pretty close to me, because one reason, I had given blood, and they were taking that blood and it was going into her body. When she died, it was just too late. It was just too late to do any good. And so she died. Later, I was speaking with a man and his son died. And that would be a close experience. For your son to die in the prime youth, he was just a teenager, if I remember right. And anyway, I said, I feel like I can sympathize with you, because I remember my sister. I was in that teenage when that happened, and I know how that really, really took a hold of him. Because we can sympathize with someone else. Well, it helps us, sickness helps us to want complete redemption. Now Romans 8 says that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. And which verse is this here? Verse 17. I was too early. If children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. I say we wait. We're waiting for that redemption. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, not because we wanted to be, but by reason of him was subject to the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, not only the creation and the animals and things, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That is a good thing to think about when we have sickness. When we have sickness, to think that one day, this body will not hamper us down, because it will not be sick. It will not be sick. Those who preach that it's wrong for a Christian to be sick, or we ought never to be sick because we're a child of God, are missing something there. We have a hope. Not only those, the whole creation, but ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We wait for the deliverance, the bondage of corruption. This body is corruptible. It's going to pass away. One day I must, unless Jesus comes first, I must be laid in the grave. I must, this body must, not me. I don't need to, but the body must. It's only the house I live in, see. We want complete redemption, and we're looking forward to that. It should increase our desire for heaven, for eternity with God, where there will be no, all that was mentioned, no suffering, no pain. All the former things are passed away, no deprivation, nothing that will disturb or mar. Now, sickness could be, and I think sometimes is, a result of improper care of the body. Not necessarily that it was a sin, although I think we should take care of our body. I believe it'd be wrong for me to smoke, to drink, to use my body in a very improper way. We cannot condone the feeling, the thinking, the talking of health food people who say if you live healthy, live, eat right, and take care of your body, that it almost eliminates the time to die. We can't go along with that, because if God, we're going to suffer. But I work for a man. Very soon after we moved to Florida, he was a real poor specimen of God's creation. He had been a real big man, a real strong, healthy fellow when he was young. But he said, I worked hard every day, I danced hard every night. Now, I'm not sure how every night, but he said he went hard. He went hard. That kind of a life. He lived for his flesh, and when I worked for him, he had one of these little things that he would suck for to clear his passageways out, because he was skinny. He had, body had just pulled down. He wasn't that old, but his health broke, and it broke so completely, and he really suffered. He said, I tell you, I'm really paying for what I've done. I don't know how many times he told me that. But another man told me, he said, we eat anything we want to. We eat anything we want to. It never hurt us yet. Well, maybe it didn't hurt him or his, but his daughter died of leukemia. I'm not sure what all was back of it, but I don't want to brag about one thing that we lived so good or this and that. Rather, I would brag on the mercy of God. God has certainly been good. Certainly been good to us. God did give us a day of rest. He did give us one day in seven for rest and worship. Now, rest isn't always laying in bed. No way. Rest is a change of occupation. To change and to do something different. It refreshes the body. It strengthens the body. If the soul is refreshed in us by worship of God and resting in the Lord and confidence in God and giving ourselves to Him, our body will also be renewed. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. I do think we do wrong to buy a lot of chewing gum that our children are chewing and able to chew chewing gum or to eat candy so much that our teeth rot out. It just sort of follows naturally that sweets don't work with good teeth. Well, and so there are ways that we could harm our health by improper care of the body. May we be sensible and do what is right. Now, I believe that also we get sick sometimes because it's a temptation of Satan. It's a temptation to doubt God. And I think Job is an example of that. Job said, if you would let me at him a little bit, he would curse you to your face. And God, knowing the future and everything, he said, go ahead. And we have that story. It's a wonderful story to create faith, trust, and a continuance in following God no matter what. He went through more than anybody I would ever be able to imagine, I guess. His family being taken away and all his material things all away, and his wife even turned and says, curse God and die. And then his health, his from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. Do you ever have a rising? Do you ever have a boil? Did you ever have one or two or three at the same time? Job was covered with them. It's beyond, it was the work of Satan. Satan was allowed by God to do that, touch his body, and he did. And Job went through that. I believe Satan wanted him to curse God, to doubt God, to turn away from God. And Job said, naked came I forth, naked I'll return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God gave, God took away. God is good. I'll serve him forever. Whatever. And so that's also another reason. And it may not be anything you've done or I've done, but it may be that Satan is wanting you to do something wrong. He wants you to think wrong, to have the wrong attitude toward God in all his blessings. But remember, it's the mercy of God that we stand here, we sit here, enjoying the health we do. Another reason that I see is for sickness is the relationship of the mind and the body. The relationship of the mind and the body. And there are people who get so angry, and they may carry that anger, that it's going to take a toll on the body. It'll take a toll. They hate another. They carry a grudge. They envy. It's in here, see. It's in our heart. It's easy for those emotions to arise and control our bodies if by the grace of God we don't cast them out and fill our heart with the things of God. Self-pity. I am so filled up or we can be so filled up with anger and hatred or envy and self-pity that it's going to do something to our body. It makes us weak. It makes us unable to move out and to do. Worry, fear, all of these. Digestion is affected. I can't go to sleep at night. You ever hear people say that? They tell us that sleeping pills are one of the biggest sold items. I'm not sure. I don't. But sleeping pills, because I can't go to sleep, I take the sleeping pill. I need them about every night. Thank God I've never taken a sleeping pill in my life. I can't remember taking any aspirin either. God has been good. God has been good. I want to give credit to God. But we daren't let anger and hatred and envy and self-pity and worry and fear so bind us down that it affects our digestion and affects our organs, and finally we have a health problem. And it's because of our mind, our relation maybe with God, our relation with our husband, our relation with somebody else. It's a challenge to maintain a proper attitude in relationship. We do not want the kingdom of God to be affected, but it will be. It will be. It affects the kingdom of God. It works the glory of Jesus Christ when people allow these things to bog them down so that they can't serve, they can't help. And it's like that old mule that walked the side of Maud when I was a boy. She was lazy. And it made it hard. It made it hard for the lead mule. Well, we are thankful for health. Let's think about that for just a little bit. Health is a blessing from God. God says that to Israel. I know that all those scriptures in the Old Testament don't come over into the New exactly like that, but he does say, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God says, if you obey me, I will not give you the diseases of Egypt. I will bless you with health. I will bless your family with health. So I say, health is a blessing from God. Therefore, thank him. Therefore, thank him. Thank him again and again and again for the health that he's given. I remember someone who did experience quite a bit of ill health. He said, I thank you for the reasonable health you've given me. I don't like to hear that. The reasonable health. He felt like God had been, after all, real good to him. And health is because of the mercy of God. I want to say that again. My second verse on that thought is from Jeremiah 30, verse 17. I'm not sure what that is. I can't think in my mind. But Philippians 2, because of the mercy of God, he got well. And then Jeremiah 30, verse 17 says, for I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. God said, if you disobey me, I'm going to punish you. And he did punish them. But then God says, because the heathen gloried in that, God says, I'm just going to override that, and I'm going to give health. I like that. I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Oh, I'll tell you, that's really becoming true in our day. Really becoming true in our day. when so many are seeking Israel, the land. Because of God's mercy, health is a response of the body because of good health habits, cooperation with the Creator. Proverbs 4 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A number of verses there give the thought of it's the blessing of God as we respond to God. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That's the words of God. He says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. They shall be life unto thee. Those that find them, and health to all thy flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. A blessing of God. It's a result of contentment, peace of mind, love for God and for fellow men. I mentioned the bad attitudes that will destroy digestion and health. Good attitudes will build it. Will build it. Contentment, peace of mind, love of God, love for God and fellow men. And then health should never be taken for granted or looked down on others whose situation is a bit different from ours. We ought not to do that. I believe we can easily become judges of evil thoughts, but we should never take it for granted, but rather give the glory to God. The Bible says that safety is of the Lord. The word safety and safety is of the Lord, and we know that health is of the Lord. And when people say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. And the same thing when we say, look, I'm good for another 100 years. I'm good for another 65 years. Then look. Be careful. It's a blessing from God. In Acts 27:34, when they were on the ship, and the ship was just about to go down, they thought, and Paul said, okay, men, all you people, 176 of them, I believe, on the board, Paul said, eat a little meat. You haven't eaten for 14 days, I believe. Eat a little meat for your health. Eat for your health. We need it. They had been worried and afraid and they hadn't eaten. Now he says, go ahead and eat. Go ahead and eat. I'd like to read yet from Isaiah 58. I like this scripture. Isaiah 58, 5 through 8. Talks about a fast. He says, is it such a fast? Verse 4, I should read that maybe first. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul. Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, an acceptable day of the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, thine health shall spring forth speedily, thy righteousness shall go before thee, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, the Lord shall answer, thou shalt cry, he shall say, here I am. Thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting forth the finger, the speaking vanity. Thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually, satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of waters whose waters fail not. Say, health is of the Lord. Because of God's mercy that we're not consumed. All right, what shall we do? Let's seek God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God gives his choice. It's the best. If it's by health, if it's by life, or by death. May God lead us through each day to give him the glory and praise. Let us pray.